What's up, Prayer Watchers? It's Delta, your most humble host, and I just wanted to give a quick shout out to today's sponsor, Smart Travel Jewels. Why not take that long-awaited summer vacation with a group instead of just by yourself? Smart Travel Jewels offers group tours and excursions that are all-inclusive and give you an authentic experience while exploring a new country and making lifelong friends. Visit smarttraveljewels.com to learn more about upcoming trips and start planning your next adventure today. Visit Smart, S-M-A-R-T, Travel, T-R-A-V-E-L, Jewels, J-E-W-E-L-Z.com. What's up, Prayer Watchers? It's Delta, your most humble host for Midnight Prayer Watch Live. And I just wanted to introduce this very, very special episode because this is our Midnight Prayer Watch special edition referred to as Soul Searching. And just to give you a little bit of insight into this special edition, and why is it so special? As most of you know, I have been on a very personal journey to locate my birth mother, whom I have not had any communication with since I was very, very young. And of course, this journey requires me to completely and fully trust in the Lord, the Most High. And in addition to that, endure some trials, some tribulations, and of course, receive tons of revelations. And so I wanted to invite you all, Midnight Prayer Watchers, to this exclusive access to our special edition, Midnight Prayer Watch Soul Searching. Welcome, everyone. I am your most humble host, Delta, coming at you again for another special edition, Midnight Prayer Watch. We are out here in South Korea, y'all. I have felt so much of an attack, just spiritually on our minds. Like, people are really anxious. There's a lot of fear and it's being stirred up. I mean, this is not something that anyone is saying, like, this is unintended consequences. No, this is not unintended consequences. This is intentional, deliberate campaign of the enemy, because there is, like, I almost felt like a sense of like a feeding ground when it comes to us coming into agreement with fear. That is not anything that the Lord gave us. He gave us power, love, and a sound mind. And so we have to continue to loose that over ourselves and bind that spirit of fear and not get into the craze of hunger for more information, which I think that unintended consequence is we go into it with a good intention, being knowledgeable, knowing what's going on in our surroundings, wanting to protect our family, wanting to be prepared, right? And then the snare that's there that we have to not get caught up in is that our pure intentions for our safety, our preparation, our family, and things like that will start to work against us, because now our gates, and this is what I'm talking about, our eye gates, our ear gates, our gates, you know, the places where we ingest information, even smelling things. I'll get off topic on that one, but that is another place where we ingest information. So our gates can be tainted, can be infiltrated, and then because now we're inviting in this information, our thoughts start to spin, and here goes that cycle. And when your thoughts are thinking about something, then, like the word says,
that when a man thinketh, so shall it be. And so we're canceling all of that, y'all. That's where I want us to really be very deliberate and intentional. This is what Holy Spirit is saying, is that we cannot be asleep. We cannot look away, try to sweep things under the rug, try to even believe that these things around us are not happening. And now we're just looking crazy because we are operating out of that negligence in what is here, what is to come, and in another form of fear. So that this is where I really want to encourage everyone to just remember that the Lord has called us to keep our minds on things above, not things of this earth. That's why I find so much peace. I find so much joy in just telling. Sometimes I have to say it out loud. I don't know about y'all, but I have to tell myself. You know, self-talk sometimes happens in your head. These thoughts sometimes have to be spoken out loud. Anybody feel me? Hello, somebody on that. And so I will literally say, I am keeping my mind on things above, not things of this earth. So I have to tell myself that. And then sometimes, especially in the last couple of weeks, I've been just saying, what are the things above that I'm keeping my mind on? And then I start to meditate, like we know we are called to do, meditate on those things that are good, that are pure, that are delightful, of good report. And then those thoughts, those anxious thoughts, they start to go back to bed. They start to go back to where they belong. And this is why the conversation today, we need to change the narrative, not on the things that we should know, right? If you're a believer in Jesus and you know what I'm talking about, I'm just saying for the people that have the common knowledge of being a believer, not isolating any non-believers, because we're still petitioning for you to have your encounter with God. But what I'm saying is, you know what I mean, brother and sister in Yahushua, when it comes to being able to sense that your thoughts are being clouded, your thoughts are being taken over by the enemy, and they're trying to use that fear against you. And sometimes you have to loose the word and bind those thoughts in a way that spiritually you can get free, because we have that authority to operate in the name of Jesus, that every knee must bow, every tongue must confess that he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so as we are talking about encouraging each other in this and not being focused on anything that may be bringing fear into our lives, that may be bringing sadness or depression, which are not our lives, as we've already talked about, I want us to remember who God says he is. And this is where I have felt so much like revelation, like a deeper revelation, because there's so many cliche definitions of, or even phrase terminologies, reports on God. Like, you know, people like to say, well, whoever you believe in, a higher power or whatever, and they start to diminish who God is. And this is where the encouraging part comes from, is that you all, on our discipleship journey, we are serving the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. There is no God before him. He is the first and the last. Okay, I mean, are we encouraged by that? Like, and things that want to come against us in this world, he said that he is our light and our salvation. In whom shall we fear? He is the strength of our life. In whom shall we be afraid? When the wicked came to eat up our flesh, our enemies and foes, they stumbled and they fell. Okay. Hello, somebody. Are we encouraged by that? I just, sometimes you guys just want to run around. Anybody want to run around sometimes and be like, yes, Lord, thank you that he has already told us all of these things that will come after us, that we should not take heart to those things. But to remember who he is and who he told us we are. And so I want to remind us today, as I've been reminded, I have truly been reminded that he has said in his word, I am he. Okay, so we are going to stay washed in the word. And I want us to start in Isaiah. Oh my goodness, Isaiah has so much good stuff in it. Oh. I mean, the study I'm doing in Isaiah is like, woo, boy, you get to really see. This is why I love getting into the word and why I constantly encourage us, all of us, to get into the word. No matter where you are at in your walk with Jesus, is that we have to know him. We have to know his character. Because when we start to have that revealed to us in Holy Spirit, like what we're reading is reading us, then there is a deeper revelation here for us. And I just, you know, this is why I continue to say that I want everyone to check me, like get into the word yourself when I'm constantly going in and constantly just contending for the faith, contending for those things that the Lord has said is ours. Like, yes, there are times where I feel led to share what Holy Spirit's put on my heart. And there's so many people that are out here that do the same, right? It's nothing wrong. We are called to open our mouths and testify and share our testimonies. And like, you know, speak from the mountaintops. There's good news to share. But I don't want anyone to use my platform or anybody else's platform as a crutch to not get into the word yourselves, because it's so powerful. It truly is so powerful. And I really feel like there is a plan the enemy is using, a campaign, again, perverting the things that are good, because people going out and speaking the word and sharing what they're being revealed to and giving more information through messages, through service, whatever forum that you receive and adjust the word from is cool. You know, back in the day, my grandparents, they were raised to just, you know, you get the word from the church. And then at some point in their lives, when they were got older, they started reading the word for themselves. But it was always known. So anybody out there in my baby boomer generation or silent generation, you already know what time it is. It was always known that you go to church and the pastor, the reverend, the deacon, the preacher, they're the ones that reveal the word to you. That's kind of, you know, the process. And that was that generation. And we have to remember that, you know, it doesn't matter what other people do, is what God is calling you to, because you were created uniquely by him. And if he is telling you, I want to get to know you more intimately, and this is why he all gave us, every single person has this book, this instruction manual on on what to do while we are out here in this world that is not our home, we just are passing through, then I really encourage you to get into the Word. Can I get off my soapbox about this, y'all? Did y'all get this now? are y'all catching this? Hello, somebody. So anyway, let's get into the I am He part, okay? Am I going off topic too much? I am He. Let's go back. Isaiah 43. Anybody following along with me? I'm going to start in verse 10, and then we're going to end in verse 13. So I'm reading from KJV. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord. Besides me there is no Savior. I have declared, and I have saved, and I have showed thee. I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was I am He, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? I'm gonna just let that marinate for a second, y'all. So Elohim is telling us very clearly that this is back in the day when there was all of this idol worship, and Yah came through and delivered the children of Israel so many times, and He was using so many prophets to come and to just like judge the children of Israel. And then there were so many of the kings that most of them didn't follow Him. And then, you know, there were a few that did. And when Israel was just continuing to be captured by so many different Syria, by the Moabites, by the Ammonites, by I think at this time the king of Assyria was coming through, and he was like, yeah, I'm about to take all of y'all, and you know, this kind of stuff. All of this time in the Word, the Lord is saying again to the people that there was no one else before me when I came and got you. I chose you. Yet you out here choosing to serve other gods? He's like, remember this. I like to always say it in my terminology, put some respect on my name. Hello, somebody. We have to put respect on the name of the Lord. He said, I am He. And He chose us, saved us. There's no other God that can deliver and save us. And He said specifically, no one can deliver out of my hand. I mean, we think about this. There's so many little g gods out there. Why would we serve the little g God when we have the capital G, the OG God, who is saying, I am He, and I have chosen you. So trust and believe that I am going to be here. There will not be any after me, and there was none before me. And when I was just reminded when I was reading this, of not just like how powerful, how sovereign, how omnipotent our God is. But I was reminded of the fact that He is the one I serve. He's the one I belong to. Like, I felt like, oh my, like I had a rising up in me of just, oh, ain't nobody about to see my God in these streets. Like, he's unmatched from anybody that's trying. Like, think about like the biggest boss in the video game that you can never beat ever. Like, it's a what they call a cheat code. Any of the gamers out there, like literally the cheat code, there is no other God. You cannot win. There is no way to crack the code. It is impossible for any of these little G gods to be out here trying our God. And I just felt so encouraged by that. And I felt so at peace, which is remembering the I am He is like, again, put some respect on my name out here in these streets, y'all. And then in Isaiah 44, there was another part of that, that I guess the continuation of him, you know, telling us about these other gods and how could you serve another God when I am He. And so in Isaiah 44, starting in verse 6, this part I really, really enjoyed. And I felt so much peace again, like just real shalom peace and knowing about my God. And like, there is nothing I need to fret about, or that I need to be concerned about because of who He is. So Isaiah 44, starting verse 6, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. And who as I shall call and shall declare it and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people, and the things that are coming and shall come, let them shew unto them. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. Oh my goodness. The Lord is out here. He trying to. I felt so like when he said that, right? And I'm going to read from the NKJV version too, because I want everyone to catch this, because this is such a good, deep, deep revelation that I was catching when I was reading this. But I mean, for him to end and be like, I know not of any God, like, come on, you cannot tell me that is him saying, put some respect on my name. Come on, y'all, come on. Okay, here's the NKJV version to help kind of unpack this a little bit more for everyone. Isaiah 44:3, for I will pour water on him who is thirsty. And, Isaiah 44:6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. And who can proclaim as I do? Then let him declare it and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people. And the things that are coming and shall come, let them show these to them. Do not fear, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one. Oof, are y'all catching this? Yes, Lord, come through. I feel like there was just so much of his character that I just had like that deeper revelation of who God is and how he, you know, like communicates and explains things. And I feel so close to him because I feel like there was like that sarcasm in there. Like he was like, oh, wait a second. Who can proclaim as I do? Then let him declare it and set it in order for me. I mean, like, come on. Like, you cannot say that there wasn't a little bit of sarcastic tone, a sarcastic intonation on that. And I just be like, yes, I am your daughter. Because of just so much likeness. And that I feel like, again, we're told that we're created after his own image, but being able to see and to experience like these examples of knowing, like it's almost like when you find out something that your parent did when they were younger and you were like, oh, I did that same thing too. Or I act like that too. Or, oh, I don't like that food neither. It's like that. That feeling, that like comparison of, I am your child. I came from you. And I was so just encouraged by this. Can y'all tell? Like, I'm excited. The fact that he not only is revealing to us, like the parts of us that are naturally given to us by him, but he clearly ain't got no competition. It's no competition in these streets because he can be very, very frank about this. He said, is there a God besides me? Indeed, there is no other. I know not one. Like, I would know. This is what he's saying. Like, of course, I am God, so I would know, but I know not one, no other God beside me. Hello, somebody. Okay, is this encouraging anyone? Well, we think about all of the things that are coming up against us, like for real, for real. I'm talking about not the things that are sideswiping you, but the head-on collisions that are coming out, trying to take you out, chop you off at the knees, those things that are coming at us. And we are going through life in this fallen world. So we know that there's going to be those perilous situations, tribulations, and trials. But when we remember who we serve, who our God is, Yehovah Elohim, oh my goodness, that has to encourage us. Knowing that he not only is just our God, but he's out here fighting our battles, and he has told us there is nothing that we need to be afraid of. How many times have he said that? Do not fear. Do not be afraid. He said, because we belong to him, there's no need for us to bat an eyelash at these things that are trying to take us out. But we have to remember, put some respect on his name this season, y'all. We have to. Because trust me, I feel like the slightest moment that my thoughts start wandering, and I start trying to do it out of my own strength, because I've been down that road before. But as we know, we got to put off that old man every day, all day. But sometimes that old man tries to come up alongside of us so close so he can gain back access. But when that old man need to be put back down, and I need to declare that I am a new creation through Christ, oh my goodness. I'm telling y'all that it is not easy because the enemy is crafty. He's crafty, y'all. He is fighting a losing battle and he knows it. The devil knows it. That's why the strategies are so secretive. They're so like darkness, right? They're so like hidden and twisted, perverted, because it's not like he thinks he's going to win. He knows he's not going to win. So he's doing everything to lie and deceive and accuse and get you to take your own self out of it because he knows how powerful God is. And us believing in his power, us believing in him and loving him is that transitional power that we are able to operate in ourselves and put that enemy under our feet as a footstool. That's where he belongs. That's where those thoughts belong. That's where that anxiety belongs. That's where that depression belongs, is underneath our feet. Keep it there. Don't take it up again. We keep it there and remind ourselves that our God is the first and the last. There is no other God besides him. None. There is none like you comes to my mind. He says it all the time. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I will search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I just feel like breaking out in that song. It just touched me. Oh, that's one of my favorites out there, okay? I think we played that last week when we were having our praise party, but there's truly none like him. And I just encourage y'all to be encouraged by that. Remember, whenever the enemy is trying to take you out, is trying to get after your thoughts, trying to get you to come in agreement with that fear, that you serve a God that is not like anyone. There is no other God. And he declared it. And he said he will be faithful to perform it. And not because of us. He's not coming through and fulfilling his word because of us. So there's no pressure on us to keep our performance-driven life. It's hard. We, as much as I say, I try not to be performance-driven, it's so hard to not think about how well I'm doing in life. Am I doing the right thing? Am I making the right amount of money? Am I at the right point in life based on my age, you know, credit, house, car, family, all this kind of stuff, right? It's hard. I feel you. I know your life. It is my life and struggle too. You out here. Hello, somebody. But this is the thing, like, the Lord is not coming through for us because of us. So we can take that yoke off our backs completely. That should help us to get free of this performance-driven lifestyle, because that's not what he's called us to do either. But he is coming through. He is pulling up. He is going to fulfill everything he has said because of him and his name. Does that take that weight off your shoulders? I know it does mine. Woof. Because if he said he is God, there is none like him. Okay? He is our deliverer. He is our redeemer. His word goes forth and it does not return back to him void. And he will come through for us every single time. When he says those things and he says, it's not because of you. No, it's because of me. It's almost like I liken it to when, let's say, you need someone to do something for you. But you ain't got no money. You ain't got no collateral. You can't exchange no services for them to be able to do this. But what do you say? On my word, I will come back and I will hit you with what you deserve when I got it, right? Has anybody ever issued that kind of IOU before? Hello, somebody. Is anybody feeling me? The IOU that is based on your word. It ain't based on no collateral, no money. You ain't got nothing but your word. I wonder where we get that from. That's what that reminds me of. It's like the Lord has said, on my word, trust me, I will do what I said I will do. Oh, who's this friend? Holy Spirit. And if his word, what word is bond? If his word is bond, if you believe that, then believe when he says, do not fear. Believe when he says he will fight your battles. Believe when he says that he's cast out all fear, and perfect love casts out all fear. Believe it. I'm gonna start using that. Word is bond. Because God said it. Yah said it, y'all. So remember, the I am he. If any time the enemy is coming after you, encourage yourself with what he's told us, what he's told you about you. And how do we know what he says? We got to stay washed in the word, everyone. So I'm going to close this out with prayer. And I just want everyone to be encouraged again. And I can't believe I just broke out in a little praise song. I've been feeling like that a lot lately, though. Like, I just be praying sometimes. Can I tell you? I can't be honest with you. I just be praying sometimes in the middle of prayer. And then I feel like this tugging or this reminder. And I'm pretty sure it's Holy Spirit just being like, and I have a song. And sometimes it's not a song that's been created, like a new song. But he has said in his word, like, you know, he creates, or he wants us to create new songs for him. So in any case, forgive me if that threw us off a little bit, but I had to just do what was on the spirit, okay? So, oh, Abba, we just thank you, Lord, for this time of remembrance, this time where we continue to just get to know you. And thank you, Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh, for deepening the revelation of who it is that we serve. We thank you, Lord, for those hearts that were open, and even those hearts that you're pricking right now, to the reminder that there is none like you, that you are faithful to perform your word because of you. Thank you, Lord, that there is so much that we still don't know about you, because you are so sovereign. You are King of Kings. You are Lord of Lords. You are Jehovah Elohim. Oh, Lord, we thank you for who you are and not for what you do for us, Lord, We know that this season, there's so much that we expect of each other. The what have you done for me lately season. But Father, we ask that you continue to remind us. Help us to operate in just knowing that who you are is fulfilling the desires of our heart. There is nothing that we need in our hands, but just to be in your presence, Lord. That is where our true desire is. And I thank you, Father, that when the enemy came in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raises a standard against the enemy. And so we declare and decree right now that these standards are being erected. Oh, these standards. These standards that are going all the way across the world, Father God, even here in South Korea, that you are placing people strategically so their feet can touch the ground and they can just continue to invite your Holy Spirit to thrive and to flourish where you place them, Lord. And as standards are being erected, Father God, we declare and decree that that flood the enemy is coming in with is being pulled back. Yes, Lord, that even when it hits the wall of the standard, Lord, that is just like a levee and it's going right back. That wave is washing right back and being reversed back to where it belongs, back to the enemy's camp. In Jesus' name, we declare and decree that those swords that were turned towards us from the enemy's campaign and plan and attack to kill, steal, and destroy us, Father, are like the days of Midian, or even like the days of Jehoshaphat, where those swords that were meant for us, the enemy turns back onto each other. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that this is the time that you have given us to press in, to hear your tugging, to get into your presence, to prepare us for what is ahead. We thank you, Lord, for this time where you are preparing us for eternity, where you are revealing to us the things in our lives, revealing to us any blockages, bondages, yokes that you want to deliver us from. And you are showing us the mercy for us to live the life, the goodness of the life in the land of the living, and give us an opportunity to work at our salvation with fear and trembling, because you are He, even He, Lord, God of Israel, our Redeemer, Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth. We thank you, Lord. You are God of justice, Jehovah Mishpat. You are everything, and there is none like you. Father, we love you. We thank you. We worship your holy name, Lord. We ask all things in the name of Yahushua HaMashiach, we pray. Amen. So, as you go forth this new week, as you go forth into this new day, even now, Holy Spirit is touching your heart. Oh, Father, Ranishi Tororomania Sandarosa. Even if Holy Spirit is pricking your heart, if you are someone that has not known Jesus as your personal Savior, has not accepted Him into your heart, into your life, and right now we are praying for you. We want you to make a decision for eternity today. And the decision for eternity isn't just about, I don't want to go to hell. Maybe it starts off that way. And there's nothing wrong with that. Because God knows. He knows how to get to you. He knows you. But think about it like this. God is God of God, King of kings, Lord of lords. There's none like him. If he is that, then it's not just about being in heaven and not going to hell, but it's truly about you, who was created by him, wanting to be back in his presence. Wanting to meet your creator. Who doesn't want to know where they came from? And so if you are one, the one out of the 99 that God is touching, he may be having an encounter with you right now. Then salvation is at your door. Will you open the door? So easy. So easy. It's inviting him into your heart. Confessing with your mouth. Right now, you can do it.
Prayer Watchers, we have come to the most important part of this episode. If you are listening and are not 100% sure if you will spend eternity with God and feel Holy Spirit tugging your heart to make sure of that answer today, then we encourage you to pray this prayer with us. We want you to be 100% sure of your salvation. So the prayer goes like this. God, I come to you asking for forgiveness. I confess that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe that you sent your Son, Yeshua, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, paying the penalty for my sins. And he was raised from the grave and is alive right now and is coming again. I confess you, Jesus, as my Lord and personal Savior. Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. In your name I pray, Jesus. Amen. Oh, if you just prayed that prayer, we are rejoicing with the angels in heaven and are so excited that your name is now written into the Lamb's Book of Life.
For those of us that are continuing to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, this is something that the Lord has been just ministering to me about, is that there's a lot of professed Christians in the world. I think there was a statistic out there that was talking specifically about the United States. So not discriminating against my international audience at all, but this is just a statistic that was specific to the U.S. that said that across the board in the U.S., about 85% of U.S. citizens profess to be Christian. 85%, that is a lot of people. And again, no shade to any other religion. But if what the Lord is saying to me is like, well, if there's so many people that profess to be my children, where is the revival at? Where is the fire? All I see is lukewarmness. all I hear is religion and not relationship with me. Where are my disciples? Where are my faithful? That is where I've been hearing, and he's been ministering to me too. So if you are a professed believer of Jesus and you are not living your life for him, again, he is not just the God who delivers us and works out good plans for us, but he is an angry God. Do you want his wrath? Because you are, he said, it's better for you to be cold than lukewarm. Because lukewarm, I will spit you out and cast you into the fire. Oh my goodness, I do not want you. We do not want you and Midnight Prayer Watch to be spit out. We do not want you to hear the words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." On Judgment Day, when you are giving account to what you've done with this life. And so your commission, you are saying and professing that Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Are you living a life that reflects that? Or are you flirting around with sin? Are you towing the line? Are you on the fence? Oh my goodness, my brother and my sister, I submit to you, today is the day of reckoning. And that not only are there signs of Jesus returning, and we got to get our lives together, but the part that I am so moved by for you, and I really want you to catch this, is that as you continue to be friends with the world, friends with the world, friends, they flock together, right? A lot of friends, when you see a group of friends, they look like each other, don't they? They dress like each other. They listen to the same music. They go to the same places. They hang out around the same crowd. They have the same interests. That's really who friendship is, right? So if you, while you're out here playing around with the devil, because that's where the world is, the world belongs to the devil. We live in a fallen world. That is enmity with God. Who wants to be an enemy of God? The God that you profess is your Lord and Savior. I do not want you to hear those words, "Depart from me, I never knew you," while you are begging and pleading to not be cast into the fire. While you're begging and pleading your case and saying, "Oh, but Lord, I said that prayer that day, but your life was not submitted to him. But what did you do with the life that he gave you?" Oh, I beg you not to be that person. I beg you to turn your life back around. There is not enough time for you to live your best life on this world. Trust me. Because when you think, "Oh, it's time for me to start living for God," your heart will be hardened towards the things of God. That's the thing that church don't talk about. That's the thing that a lot of these so-called Bible-believing churches, I'm not coming for anybody's church. I'm just saying there are examples of this, okay? I'm just calling it what it is, that you will go to a church service and they only tell you about the good stuff. And yes, there are wonderful things that we can continue to wait on the Lord for. But he is not no pushover. He is God of gods. And he sees you. He sees your wickedness. He sees your iniquity. He sees the sin that is easily besetting you. He sees it all. And he sees us and the things that we think we can hide because we got a great elevator speech. Or we have that great poker face. He sees past all of that in us. He sees our heart and he knows us. He formed us. He created us. Of course he knows every single piece and part of us. And so you cannot think, not even try, but think that you could get over on Yehovah Elohim. No. No. I hope if you were just tight with me right now and tight like you are, you know, I'm getting on your nerves. I'm upsetting you. I'm pushing a button right now. If you're out here fornicating, if you're out here being jealous, if you're out here, I mean, Galatians 5 goes into all of the things that are unrighteous. If you're doing any of those things, you need to repent right now and ask the Lord to forgive you, have mercy on you, and turn away from that wickedness. I mean, this is the thing about working on our salvation with fear and trembling. We don't know. Me included. I am not precluded from this. This is why I'm telling y'all, like, the Holy Spirit ministering to me about this revelation is not precluding me. It's not saying I am holier than thou. No, I am also out here like, okay, Lord, what else do I need to do? Because I do not want to get to that day and hear, depart from me, I never knew you. But we will not know. We will not know until we pass into eternity, until that day comes. And so that's why the work now to be free from all of this sin, all of this unrighteousness, all these things that we have come into agreement with, known and unknown, the work has to be done constantly. Every day is new mercy received. Every day. Every day we have to put our flesh down. Every day. And so one day you could be living for God. The next day your heart could be far from him. Think about it. What happened? What happened with Solomon? He was out here like the most decorated king. There was no other king before him or after him that had all of the riches, all of the wisdom, everything that anyone on this earth ever has seen before. And yet, one day, when he was striving and walking so close to God, one day, because the Lord told him about them women, he said, these women are going to turn your heart away from me. And it didn't happen overnight. It happened gradually. Then one day he woke up and his heart was far from him. I don't know what happens after that, y'all. But this is why he gave us that account in the word, is for us to recognize every day. And even David, he continues to give David so much. Like, David is out here. Like, you want to have a heart like David? We hear that all the time in church and in messages and services. And, you know, David was a servant of God, and he said he would establish his kingdom with the seed of David, and he's given us all of that. But even him, after he sinned and he repented of that sin, but remember how he used to be before that sin with Bathsheba. He used to be able to have that real, like, close talk with God. Like God would talk back to him. That proximity was like, they was thick as thieves. Then after that sin, I don't know if anybody caught this, but David would pray. And then Nathan the prophet would have to come tell him, what was God saying? Yes, he repented. Yes, he was forgiven. And yes, God said he would establish his kingdom with David, the house of David. And he has. And he will. He's going to do the work like we talked about. He's faithful to perform his word because of him, not us, him, not David, him. I am he. Remember this. But think about this. Even then, there was a consequence because of that sin. I don't know about y'all, but I'm trying not to be in the consequence lane. I do not want to be out there. I do not want y'all to be out there in the consequence lane. Like you think you have all this time to just live your best life and then just let your fleshly wiles run wild. No, this is the thing. Do not believe the trick of the enemy, because the devil knows that your hard heart will turn away from the Lord. And then it'll be too late when you think I'm in my teenage years, my 20s, my 30s, even my 40s, and I'm just going to do what I wilt. And then in my 50s, I'll start getting serious about my walk with God. I'll be like the good grandma, grandpa that goes to church. I'll be like the good older man, the Adashie that goes to church and reads his Bible and knows all the scriptures, you know, backwards, like the back of my hand. I'll just do that, you know, in my 50s and my 60s. I'll give my older years to God. These, you know, these golden years, this is my time, Lord. Please don't do that. Please, 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 please. Your life is not your own. When you start believing that, when you really start believing that, when we really catch that, that our desires become his desires. That's why he says that he will fulfill the desires of our heart. And so I humbly submit to you that if you are not living your life for Jesus, the first thing you need to do is confess and repent. And start taking a step, little by little, back to him. And if you are truly, genuinely repentant and moving in that direction, there is no prescriptive way of how that works. But it's following the leading of Holy Spirit, who is our helper. He came specifically to help us. That's what Jesus said. He said, I have to go. Yeah, I came back after they crucified me, but I have to leave so that you can have the helper, Holy Spirit. And he continues to minister to. I know he ministers to me all the time. I'm getting them Holy Spirit checks all the time. I'd be like, okay, let me fall back. Let me fall back, Holy Spirit. Or sometimes I might be like, oh, Holy Spirit, help me in this. I do not know which way to go. I'm not sure if I should go left or right. I don't know if I should go to that party. I don't know if I should go to this person's house. I don't know if I should eat at this person's house or place, a restaurant, whatever. I mean, just the, like these small everyday things. If we have a helper, then ain't no shame in saying, I need some help. That's how I feel. I don't know about anybody else. Hello, somebody. Ain't no shame in being like, I need some help. Can you help me with this, please, Lord? And that's where I encourage you to begin this journey of recommitting your life back to Him. So, I know Holy Spirit is moving right now. And just know that we are continuing to pray for you here at Midnight Prayer Watch. We are continuing to even fast for those things that the Lord is saying are coming. They are coming, and we want to be prepared for whatever this season is that is coming upon us. Because as I have been saying for the last 3 months or so, something is brewing in the spirit. And I don't know about y'all, but we are spirits. And so we can sense this. Something is brewing in the spirit, and I want to be on the righteous side of that thing. That I want to be able to say, Lord is helping me with His righteous right hand. I want to be that side. And so we have to be prepared. We have to allow the refining fire to polish us and continue to ask for that crucifixion of our flesh, because I do not want us, I do not want you, I do not want me to be cast into the fire. And that is a real situation. That's not fake. That's not imaginary. That day will happen. So don't let the enemy lie to you and deceive you into thinking that that there is no judgment to come. Again, He's up to schemes. He's fighting from a losing position. He will do whatever He can do to have you not live a life that the Lord has for you. So stay encouraged, prayer watchers. Remember, I am He. Remember who we serve. Remembering who He is will encourage you to remember what He said He would do for us. What He said that He is faithful, and why He does it for us. So I hope y'all, again, just go forth and have shalom peace that God provides us in His provision to help us stand in the evil day and withstand the wiles of the devil, keeping our armor on always, girding our waist with the belt of truth, putting on the breastplate of righteousness, shodding our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, taking up the shield of faith, and extinguishing those fiery darts from the enemy, putting on the helmet of salvation, because we know that we have been saved by grace and not by our own works, and taking up the sword of the Spirit to slice those lies. Slice them to pieces, y'all. The word of the Lord. And so remember, word is bond. And put some respect on Yah's name, y'all. And so stay up, everyone. And make sure you stay alert this season. Don't get caught slipping, being asleep, especially during those prayer watch hours like we talk about. And always, always, always stay washed in the word, y'all.